I'm excited. We're beginning a brand new series today, Priests in the House. We've been active in our study over the tabernacle, but today we dive in just a little bit deeper into just the study of the priest in the Old Testament and what God has for us here as believers in the new covenant. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever had this sense or this awareness like, there's got to be more than all that I'm currently sensing and a part of? Anybody? Even as a follower of Jesus Christ, right? There's this sense of like, okay, this is great. I'm content in the Lord, but there's something inside that tells me there's more still. That is okay to have alongside contentment. In fact, that longing in you, that desire for more, is the Spirit of God in you speaking to you. It's the Spirit of God drawing you closer to Himself to reveal more to you. The scripture tells us in the New Testament that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Most of us may have heard that verse before, but I wonder if you've heard the next part of it. But God has revealed those things to us through His Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God is within you if you're a child of God, and He is your heartbeat now. He is who your life is now. And He is drawing you to Himself, and He is the one that reveals things to you, reveals truth to you. You didn't just come up with truth on your own. Your mind or my mind are not that elevated. Amen? I'm thinking for myself, for sure. But it's just true. If there's ever truth that comes to you, it's because the Spirit of God has revealed it to you. You don't come up with it on your own. It comes by His Spirit. And so when we have this longing that there's more, there's got to be something more, that is the Spirit of God drawing you closer to Himself. And that's a great thing. In this series, Priest in the House, I think we're going to draw closer to some of what God is drawing us to understanding who Jesus is and who you and I are in Him. So if there's this greater awareness of who He has created us to be. You see, in the very beginning, in the garden, God created Adam and Eve to walk with Him, to be filled with His breath, to know His heart, to walk in His ways, to actually be clothed in His glory. That's what they were designed for. But they forfeited that role. They forfeited that position, that place where they were clothed in glory, and instead they chose to say, I will do life on my own. They believed the lie of the serpent. He deceived them and they bought it. And what they had was lost. And God set in motion a plan that had always been a part of eternity, that He would redeem and restore. Because see, in that moment, Adam and Eve had to leave the garden. They had to leave the place of glory. And God began a plan to restore them to their original role. Because they not only forfeited it for themselves, they forfeited it for you and me. And now Jesus has set in motion the plan to restore what was lost. And so this series today, Priests in the House, leads us toward that end. And our message today is called this: Jesus came to restore the royal priesthood. And you might say, I didn't come to church to hear about people in ministry. Well, this is where we have to redo and undo our definition of some words. And one of those is the word priest. Normally when you hear the word priest, when I hear the word priest, I think of someone at a church who's dressed in some very different clothing we normally wear every day, and they're doing some very religious things. They're doing some sacrifices and things, and those are things that priests do. But if you understand from scripture, the word for priest is really just someone who stands as an officiant, someone who stands in the responsibility given them and performs that function. So Adam and Eve, They were placed in the garden and they were made royal priests. This was God's design. And they were just one of many who followed, where they would walk in the responsibility of meeting with God, hearing God, multiplying, and sharing the glory of God with others. We find throughout Scripture that there are others in the Old Testament who did this. Long before there was a tabernacle, long before there was a temple, we find Job, one of the earliest written books in the Old Testament. And we find that Job was a priest in his own home. He offered up sacrifices for his family. Did you know that Noah offered up sacrifices for his family and served as a priest in his house? Abraham offered up sacrifices and worshiped for himself and his family. He was a priest in his house. Melchizedek, a very unusual character in the Old Testament, was a king and a priest. He was a priest in his house. And so when we see this function carried out, we understand, okay, now we have to get a bigger picture of what is actually happening in the Bible. God designed life in such a way that Adam and Eve would originally serve as priests. And here's how long the message is going to be this morning. We're going to cover the whole Bible. How about that? You ready? It's going to be awesome. We're going to do it in about 30 minutes, right? It's going to be an incredible morning. So we're going to divide this up into some areas here so we can kind of get a big picture overview of what God intended and what God has done. The first is this idea that Adam and Eve were intended to be royal priests. So we think about the creation of the world. We think about how God placed them there in the garden. And when he did, the Bible says that he dwelt with them in their garden, in this locale. The glory of God dwelt there in this place. And they met with God, and they had the responsibility of worshiping God, hearing from God. They were clothed with the glory of God. Did you know that that's why they were naked and not ashamed? Because they were clothed with the very glory of God. And they walked with him. They heard him. They worshiped him. They walked in the dominion that God had given them. They fulfilled their responsibilities. They served him. And they were priests unto the Lord in that day. Now, the Bible tells us, as I mentioned, that Adam and Eve heard the whispering lie of the enemy. The one that said, you can't really trust him. He's not really good. You should walk in your own ways. You should do your own thing. You should rebel against him. And they did. And as a result, they paid the price. They were filled with guilt and shame. They ran and hid themselves. They tried to cover themselves with their own leaves. And God makes a sacrifice to cover them instead. But as a result of disobeying, as a result of refusing to follow the Lord, they were cast out of the garden. It's interesting, the Bible says that God closed off the garden, the place of his glory, the sanctuary, if you would, and he placed flaming swords or angels with flaming swords there to guard it so that no one would enter there again. And here in that moment, Adam and Eve lost for themselves and for us the royal priesthood, the ability to have peace with God, the ability to serve God, the ability to walk and know his glory. It was lost in that moment. Now, as they did, God was good still to them, undeservedly good. In fact, he told them, he said, there's going to come one day who will be a royal priest, and he will be the one who will restore what has been lost. He will be the one who will win back what has been forfeited. He would be a royal priest who would restore the priesthood, and he would obey perfectly. He'll be the one who will go into battle and he will suffer a wound himself, but he will defeat the serpent with an even greater wound. This was all spoken to Eve in the garden. A royal priest would come. And then as time unfolds, now this new family is living outside of the garden, outside of the sanctuary in the glory of God. And so as they do, life begins to go off the rails. Their kids are in turmoil. One brother murders another, and life just devolves into chaos from that point forward. And God begins to institute a way in which he calls men and women to walk again as priests unto the Lord. In fact, God says, I'm going to build a kingdom of priests. I'm going to call a nation, and they will be my people. And I will use them to show the rest of the world what it looks like to be a kingdom of priests. And so God calls Abraham, and he gives him a promise that he would have children as numerous as the stars in the sky. And he makes a covenant with them. And they began to walk with God. And the intention was that in every one of their tents, that they would worship the Lord, that they would honor the Lord, that they would teach their children his ways, and that in every man's tent, he would reveal the glory of God. He would serve as a priest in his own house. Now, what's sad about the story of Scripture, and we can all relate to this, as soon as God gives this command, they go off the rails right away. In fact, when God's people are there at the base of the mountain and Moses is up getting the commands from the Lord, they're down in the valley worshiping an idol. It's like, what on earth is happening? And though the glory of God was to dwell here in their homes, though they were to know the power and the glory of God, though they were to be a kingdom of priests, every man being a priest before God, they rebel. And as a result, that way doesn't work. And so God begins to put in place another plan where they would know his glory among them. And this is where our previous study comes into play, where God says, I want you to build a tabernacle, a tent of meeting in which I will dwell and I will meet with you. And you will know my glory. You will know my presence. And God puts in place a system of sacrifices because his glory is going to dwell here. And he puts in place a system of priests as well so that they can minister to the Lord, so that they can atone for sin, so that the people can know once again, we have peace with God. Our sins have been atoned for. His glory is with us. This was God's plan during this time. Every person in Israel would know the Lord is with us. What's fascinating is inside this holy place, as we've studied, as we've seen, we found a lampstand. And what did that lampstand look like? A tree. We find the bread, we find the incense, the sweet food, and the sweet aroma. There were all pictures back to the Garden of Eden. In fact, the very veil that is here and on the inside, guess what is sewn into it by God's design? Angels who guard the presence of God. Does that not all sound like a throwback to Eden? It is. It's pictures of God once again saying, I want to take you back to the place of the glory that I had designed for man. I want you to know his peace and his power. I want you to be priests unto the Lord again. This was God's plan. So that they could enter the holy place, so that they could know his power, so that they could know his glory. And even the priests who are called, they are actually clothed with a very unique clothing designed by God. Why? Because he wants to reveal his glory again for man. Now, I'm excited because next week we'll actually have someone here wearing that priestly garment that is mentioned in the Old Testament. So look forward to that next week. I can't wait. So in this Old Testament covenant, in this tabernacle, the priest is there. He has this role. And he is a throwback to what Adam and Eve were. But he's also a look ahead to the high priest who will come. He's picturing the one who will come, who will ultimately restore. Because no high priest could do it. Abraham couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. King David wouldn't do it. Isaiah the prophet couldn't do it. In fact, the story of the Old Testament is very cyclical. God reveals himself, causes people to holiness. The people rebel and chase after other idols. God is gracious, causes people to holiness, to walk and follow him. The people rebel and chase after idols. And then, in fact, the Old Testament ends with a very sad state. It ends with a warning where God says to the priests, because you will not honor me with holiness, because you will not honor me with proper sacrifices and your hearts are far from me, judgment is coming. But at the same time, there was a promise of a great high priest who was to come. And so the New Testament opens with the wonderful news of this high priest who comes. Jesus is born. And Jesus lives a life sin-free. John the Baptist sees him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And they recognize this man has come to be a savior. Not all recognize, but many did. They recognize him as the one who had come to redeem, because they had rebelled here, now God was going to institute the next plan, the next part of the plan. And Jesus would be the prophet, Jesus would be the sacrifice, and Jesus would be the priest. He would be the one who would come to restore all that had been lost. Look at this verse from Hebrews chapter 9. You turn your Bibles there, you'll find this and the verses we're going to use here. Hebrews chapter 9, it says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. The Bible says that Jesus has come, and he has come, and he's tabernacled among us. He has come to reveal the glory. He has come to restore what has been lost, and he has come as a high priest. Because what's needed is for someone to enter into the very presence of God on our behalf. Someone needs to go into the holy presence of God and pour out the blood to atone for our sin. The blood of lambs couldn't do it. The blood of bulls couldn't do it. Someone who's perfect would need to enter into heaven and pour out their blood. And Jesus comes to do that. He is the sacrifice and he is the priest. And he comes as a high priest, as the passage says, of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, that one that is in heaven. Now, in chapter 10 of that same book, Hebrews, it says this, therefore, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Because Jesus has done that, because he has entered in, because he has become the high priest, you and I now can draw near to God, having a heart in full assurance of faith. I don't have to wonder anymore, can I come to the Lord? Are my sins forgiven? Was he enough? No, I can know. He was the perfect lamb. He was the great high priest. He has entered in. So now we can come with full assurance of faith. Amen? Amen. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. All references back to the tabernacle again. Beautiful imagery here. Jesus becomes the high priest. He is the one who has come to restore all that's been lost. He is one who enters in when no one else could. And he opens the way. In fact, the purpose of his opening the way was bigger than what anyone could imagine. We might have thought it's just so he could enter in. But the Bible says, no, it's for far greater purpose even than that. Because he has entered in so that you and I can enter in. Can you believe that? You and I, sinners, you and I who have no reason to enter into the presence of God, you and I who have failed and rebelled and been more like Adam than Jesus, you and I who have no reason that he has poured out his self for, his grace for, his blood for, so that you and I might actually be holy priests ourselves, so that we might actually be restored to who we once were when Adam and Eve were first created. This is part of that longing. You're born with it. You're born with this awareness of there's something more. Book of Ecclesiastes says, he has placed eternity into the hearts of men and women. That he has put in you this awareness that like, there's more to this. There's something more. I long for it. I want it. I can't put my finger on it. I can't quite figure it out, but I just know there's something inside that's, there's a longing for something more. That's the Spirit who's placed eternity in you, longing for him. Now, what God does to show that all of this has come to an end, to show that Jesus has fulfilled this, is he does something very dramatic. In fact, in the New Testament, we read that there was a temple. And in this temple was much like the tabernacle. There was a veil. And the veil separated that which was holy from that which was the unholy. And here, God, I'll get my markers all straight like I want here. Here, behind the veil was the holy place. Behind the veil was where the presence of God dwelt. Behind the veil was where only the high priest could go. Behind the veil is where God met with man. But the Bible tells us this. Look at the next verse. Let's go on to Mark chapter 15. It says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice when he died and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two, where? From the top to the bottom. This was not any one person walking up and tearing it, for then it would have been torn from the bottom to the top. But if you look at the passage, it says there was a great earthquake and God caused there be a tear, and the tear was from the top to the bottom, as God's way of saying, I am taking what was my glory that dwelt in this place, and now I am opening the way so that not only the high priest could come, but every believer who puts their faith in Jesus Christ can enter into the very presence of God and know his glory once again. Amen. This is the power of this visual, and God gives it. He causes the earthquake to happen at the very moment that Jesus dies, that the moment he breathes his last, the veil is torn in two as a visual, as a reminder, as a historical record. The old covenant has come to an end. There's no longer a need for a tabernacle, for a priest, for a temple, for anyone else to go before you into the path to meet with the Lord. You can now, through faith in Jesus, enter in yourself into the very presence of God. It's a new day. It's a new covenant. It has been opened and we have access. And so what this means is that now you and I are being restored to the original purpose that God had for Adam and Eve to serve as priests on the earth. And what did priest on the earth mean in that day? It meant clothed with the glory of God. It meant having the dominion of God. It meant multiplying as God directed. It meant praising him, declaring him, teaching future generations. This is what Adam and Eve had. This is what they lost. This is what is restored. This is what has been opened. And now the opportunity for us to be holy priests again. The New Testament tells us this in 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You and I have become priests. Are you staggered by this? See, I didn't sign up for the ministry. Look, we need to change some definitions about ministry and priests. Amen? Because as a follower of Jesus Christ, look here, your title, your identity is a priest before God. Erase all imagery of a man wearing a white suit in a Catholic or any other church that is somehow a representative that you have to go through to get to God. That is over. That ended when Jesus died and the veil was torn. Now you and I have access to enter directly to the very presence of God. God. I don't need somebody else to go for me. Amen? And let me just set the record straight as well. Look here. My title is pastor. I am not a priest. I hope, at least in the sense of what people think of as priest, I'm a priest before God. But look here. I am not the person you need to come see in order to get to the Lord. I don't atone for sin. Jesus atoned for sin. I've not come to absolve your sin. Jesus does that. I'm here to point to Jesus. That's all my task is. Don't let anyone tell you that there's a person that you have to go to or through to get to the Lord except Jesus Christ himself. There are many faulty systems in the world today, religious systems in the world today that are unbiblical because they're pointing people to a person instead of to Jesus. I don't care if they say go to this person to get to Jesus. I don't need a person to get to Jesus. I get to go directly to Jesus. The veil is torn, the way is open, and the glory now is what I get to wear again in Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you with me? This changes things. This changes how I live because now, guess what? I have the glory of God in my life and on me. I have been made a priest unto the Lord. I can hear him. I can speak to him. I can worship him. I can bring him my request. I can serve him because I have been made a priest to the Lord. I can know his ways and I can exercise dominion as a priest today. Every one of us should be. You should be walking in the confidence and calling and dominion that you have as a follower of Jesus Christ. It makes me so sad for believers who are still walking in shame and guilt and fear and isolation and withdrawn and hiding because you know what I've just described? Adam and Eve after they sinned. You and I aren't meant to cover ourselves, isolate, hide away, and stay away from God. You have been made and you have been reborn now to walk free, open, confident, with peace with God through Jesus Christ. You are meant to stand in your confidence and in dominion in him. This is our role as priests before the Lord today. And the Bible makes that clear. Now, what is also fascinating to me is that not only have we been made priests individually to the Lord, but the Bible says he is also doing something else today. He is putting these priests together and he has a purpose for us. And he is doing it himself. He is building a spiritual house, the passage told us. In fact, we read it in 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This is what you and I have been called to. And now, so when we gather together, we are the place that the glory of God dwells. Amen? Yeah. We are being built up together as a spiritual house. And so there is power when we gather. So the room is full of priests this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a priest. You have not come to watch a priest perform a religious function. As the people of God, we have gathered as the priesthood to all together perform the functions of priests. To proclaim his praises, to call on him, to enter into his presence. And you don't do that through me. You don't do that through a singer. You do it through Jesus Christ yourself. So when a room full of people all gather together, whether it's 150 or if it's two or three gathered in his name, the power of God is in that spot. The glory of God is in that place because the priests are acting in their functions. This is why you hear Caleb and I often saying, let's get this. Let's enter in. Let's stand in our authority. Let's stand in our confidence. Let's stand in the role that we've been given as priests. It's not because Caleb and I need our ego stroked up here on the stage. Are you with me? It is because this is the New Testament commandment. This is the role of a pastor, is to help build the people up in ministry that we might all do the work of ministry. This changes things. This is not me doing ministry while you watch. This is the staff and leaders training and equipping the people to do the work of ministry, because every one of us are priests unto the Lord. And when you stand in that, you find the power for that. When you stand in that, you have the motivation for that. When you stand in that, then you can be an encouragement to someone else. When you stand in that, you view even coming here together on a Sunday. Because you enter the door thinking, I'm coming as a priest today. I got something to say. I got something to sing. I got someone to serve. I got something in me that needs to get out of me. Amen? It doesn't mean sometimes I don't need somebody to pour into me, but I come to give a lot more than I come to expect to get. Are you with me? This is what priests do. Priests enter into that. They enter into that function. They know this is their purpose. They know this is their calling, and they stand in it. This is what God calls us to. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a priesthood of the highest order, one that has kingly responsibilities with it, royal responsibilities. And the passage from 1 Peter tells us that the function, the purpose, was to proclaim the praises of him who's called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now, I also love the fact that as priests, I do this individually. I come before the Lord. I seek the Lord. I serve the Lord. I do this in my church as well, because this is who I've been made. I'm part of a priesthood. You didn't know you were priest in the hood. We are. We're priests and priests together. And this role of priest is more important than you realize. Did you know that Adam and Eve had the role of priest before they had any other role? Listen to me now. Adam had the responsibility of being a priest before he had the responsibility of being a provider. Uh-oh. You mean that comes before my job? You mean it's more important than my hours of work I put in all week long? You mean you're telling me that the Lord should go before everything in my career? You're telling me that gathering with other priests is more important than me getting my job done? Does that mean that sometimes I might have to work on a Sunday? You might. But in your mind, you always remember, I'm a priest before the Lord before I'm anything else in my life. Listen, you are a priest before you are your hobbies. Before you chase after all those things that you kind of like and enjoy and want to get some free time for, look, you were made a priest long before any of that ever came to be. That's the first function you have. That's your priority. Priest, before you seek after any pleasure in this life, you've been made a priest first. If you don't understand that, you'll go chasing all kinds of pleasure that's wrong that priests don't even chase after. But when you understand your role as priest, you won't be tempted to chase after all those pleasures. You are actually a priest before you are a friend to anybody else. That friend group you've got, I hope they are priest-like. I hope they're encouraging you in your priestliness. If you got some friends that are dragging you down from your priestliness, you need to get some more friends. Now, if you got some people that you are helping them discover who they are as priests, good. They need it. you are also a priest before you are a spouse. If you want to understand even your function as a spouse, you better understand your role as a priest. I'm not just talking to the men, I'm talking to the women as well. If you want to understand your role as a husband or a wife, you better understand your role as a priest before God first. Or that the rest of it is going to be confusing, and you're going to be irritated at that spouse of yours who never does enough. You're going to be looking at all that they're not doing instead of what he's been doing for you. You won't have what it takes to be filled up because you're looking at that person to fill you up, and they never can fill you up. Your role as a priest before God is what will fill you up. Your role as priest comes before you're actually a parent. Before Adam and Eve ever had any children, they were called to be priests to the Lord. They were called to worship and serve him. They were called to fulfill their responsibilities before him. They were called to work in the garden. Which is interesting, the word work that's used to describe Adam working is the same word that's later used for the priest who served in the tabernacle. It's interesting that, I'm going to go off script here for just a minute. It's interesting that in the tabernacle, there was the outer court, the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. When God designed creation, there was the outer court, there was the garden, then there was the tree, a sacred place, the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God gave them these barriers and these confines and this place they could find life. And it's all pictured for us there. If you want to be the right kind of parent to your children, you want to be the right kind of grandparent to your grandchildren, understand your role as priest first. You're a priest first. You're a priest called to worship the Lord, serve the Lord, give glory to the Lord, and teach God's ways to those around you. That's first. It just breaks my heart when I hear parents say, well, that area of life is just too sacred and private and religious. I'm just going to let them do that on their own. Oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. A child left to his own ways will bring destruction to himself and to his family. They need to know the truth of the Lord. They need to know the gospel. And you as parents are priests first to show them his ways. You're a priest before you're anything else. And when you walk in that, you'll find there's no greater delight and glory because you've been restored to what was meant for in the beginning. You'll be restored to something greater than you could have ever imagined. And some of those longings for more will actually begin to be satisfied in you. You'll find you've got joy, you've got purpose, you've got peace. You'll find you're the one who's giving counsel to people instead of the one who's always needing counsel from people. You'll see a flip happen in your life. You'll start hearing from God instead of wondering what everybody else is hearing from God. You'll know the Lord and he will teach you and you'll walk in your role because you've been restored as a royal priest before the Lord. Now, I told you we were going to preach the whole Bible today. We've moved through a lot of it very quickly, but there's one book we haven't hit yet, so we must. It's the book of Revelation. It's a John's vision, the revelation he has of things beyond, of things in heaven, things in eternity. And here's what it says in Revelation 5. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, referring to the Lamb, Jesus, and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, not just Israel, every tribe, every language, every group. There are people who have trusted in the Lord. They've been redeemed. And here they are in heaven, and there they are gathered while the Lamb is opening the scroll. And what John sees next is the fulfillment of everything we've talked about this morning. Here's what it says in verse 10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We've come full circle, literally. We've come back to the place where we are on earth again. And Jesus has redeemed, and Jesus has made us kings and priests. Is there a spot on this new earth where the glory of God dwells? No, because the whole earth is filled with his glory. We are now kings and priests to the Lord, and we serve him. And there is no night, there is only day, and he is the light, and we are restored to what was lost. We are now kings before the Lord. We are now priests unto the Lord, and we are worshiping him. We're standing in his glory. We have been redeemed. And I love what it says. And we shall, what is it? Reign on the earth. You don't reign unless you're in a place of confidence. You don't reign unless you're in a place of authority. You don't reign unless you are certain of who you are and you've been made kings and priests. It's time for the church today to stand up into who we've been made as priests, to no longer be the ones who hide away, who are uncertain, who are insecure, who are doubtful, but the ones who have entered in because the veil has been torn, ones who have recognized the power of Jesus, and we serve, and we lead, and we're confident. We stand in our dominion, and we know we're a priest before we're anything else in this life. And we turn from idols, and we turn from sin, and we turn from things that are addictions. We turn from things that weigh us down. We turn from things that are foolish thoughts. We turn away from punishing ourselves. We turn away from depression. We turn away from chasing stuff, because that doesn't help us become priests. Right. So it's time to return. It's time to be the priests that God has made us to be. Amen. Amen. I hope you're filled with confidence today, greater certainty, greater motivation this week to walk as a royal priest. This is what you've been restored to. Over the next few weeks, we're gonna see this interesting, fascinating, detailed garment that the priest was given to wear by God himself. And every part of this garment we will see will illustrate the beauty of Jesus and the wonder of what you and I have been called to as priests before God. Amen? Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for a plan greater than what we could have ever imagined, where you would take what had been lost by Adam and you would restore it through Jesus. Thank you that not only was that accomplished for him, but he did that for us so that we might enter in, so that we might know our sins are forgiven, so that we might know peace with you, and so that we might stand once again as those who are reigning on the earth. God, wake up your church. Cause us to reign. Cause us to see our role as priests. Cause us to no longer be spectators. Cause us to no longer hide. Cause us to step out into the light, step up into what you've made us as priests before you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. I'm looking forward to next week. You come back and we will see what the Lord has next for us. Why don't you stand with me today as we're dismissed? We will do this now as we do at vertical. I'm going to say lift him up and you say lift him out. Let's do this. Lift him up and... Yeah.